The following podcast contains spoiler material. Listener discretion is advised.
Dear God, bring our POWs home. And bring our brothers on lockdown. Amen.
And welcome to special edition number 11 of What's On Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. And this very spoiler-filled special edition, I am joined by my compatriot on a weekly basis, Mr. Justin Bell from GeneralJoes.com. Justin, how are you?
Doing good, Gary. How are you doing tonight?
And Justin is broadcasting from his remote location in Kansas City today, so he is doing double duty. Not only is he traveling for work, but he's also participating in a special session with us.
Well, this is a very special session. I had to make an exception and tell my workmates to screw off for a couple hours tonight. They're still drinking wine at the restaurant, and I broke off early to come record this, so hopefully everybody appreciates that.
Well, then I hope our guest appreciates that as well, because we know what it's like for a Brit to turn away alcohol.
I'm not saying a word. I'm trying to keep quiet.
I can neither confirm nor deny that statement. I've got the shakes.
Please welcome our friend from the UK, the owner of All the Cool Stuff shop and all the cool stuff.co.uk website, and the promoter of Rollout Roll Call and friend of the program, Dave Tree. Dave, how are you?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. We are excited to hear what you have to tell us tonight.
I know. We're fired up for this episode, for sure. I can tell you I am. That's for sure. I can tell you Gary is, too. He's all ramped up for this intro.
Ramped.
Well, that's good. I mean, do you want me to give a brief overview of what we've got ahead for the show?
A little bit of background is over in the UK, Paramount, I guess, contacted you, or you've been working with Paramount's PR department over there, I think, to kind of get as much retaliation-related info as humanly possible. And we're lucky enough to get invited to a special, not really full film screening, but a screening of a significant amount of footage from the film. And that's we right. were bringing you on tonight to basically strap you down to the rack and torture you until you reveal it all to us. So for folks who don't want spoilers, again, we've already warned you a couple times this show. I'm going to warn you again. Turn back now if you don't want spoilers. There could be some plot elements discussed here tonight. Hopefully there are some plot elements discussed here tonight. And this is your last warning. If you don't want to know, if you want to go in clean and pure, turn back now. If not, we're going to go full steam ahead and hopefully find out some very cool details about G.I. Joe Retaliation.
That's right. I mean, I think it'd be fair to say that you've had the warning at the start of the show. You've had the second one. You know, this is like the sort of three strikes. Seriously, guys, turn off if you don't want certain things to be revealed right now.
Okay, flight SE-11, off, ready to roll.
This is air traffic control. You're cleared for takeoff.
Okay, I mean, as Justin was saying, with Rollout Roll Call, we were working with Paramount UK to get some tie-in with G.I. Joe Retaliation, and the guys were super, super helpful. But unfortunately, because of the timing of the show and the timing of the release of the film, we were just too early. But what the team was able to do was say, well, look, we've got these other opportunities available ahead of us, you know, let's like stay in touch. And an invitation came through to see approximately about 10 minutes of footage plus a new trailer, and the event was held in Soho Square in London, so we went up to like see it, and it was very, very cool. It started off with an introduction from Lorenzo, who was very positive and saying that they're now in the home straight with the film, and everything's like all full steam ahead. So I think that the team is concentrating on getting the film all wrapped up now, rather than like starting on things like the press junkets, which was potentially like hinted at. I think they're really like all hands to the deck kind of thing at the moment, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, this is when things get fun. We get within 2 months of the film's release and things are going to start cranking up. I think a lot of attention has been paid to that little Avengers film that's coming out May 4th. But as that kind of comes and goes, I think we'll see a lot of more attention being paid to G.I. Joe Retaliation, which I think is good.
It helps that some of the toys have hit their markets as well.
Yep, true.
Sorry, Dave, that was a low blow.
Yeah. What I'll be able to go through with you guys, I was furiously taking notes all through what they presented within like the 10 minutes. What I will stress at this point is how I relay this information back is not necessarily the sequence in what it's intended to be within the film. So in some cases, some elements were probably edited to hype up, you know, and showcase things rather than saying, well, this is the finished scene, this is the finished sequence. So it might sort of chop back and forth kind of thing. literally the footage opened up and there were elements of things that we've already seen in the trailers combined in with this. So if you'd seen the trailers a dozen times over, which I'm, you know, any fan has just been hitting that replay button like crazy.
A couple hundred, probably.
So you are starting to see where these things all like fit in. But it opened up with more of the Ghost Hawks like all flying at night, and there was a couple of longer shots and things like that, which then brought it into the desert. Now, something that I noticed this time round that I didn't notice before, that may or may not be in the trailers, but the Joes are unloading like warheads, and straight away this took me back to Rise of Cobra, in the sense that Duke and Ripcord were transporting like the nanomites and things like that, but they seem to be unloading all like these missile warheads, and there's a couple of exchanges with Duke and Roadblock notices just like this like firefly bug just like whizzing past him, and it pretty much then cuts to the attack on the Joe camp. And again, this is all new in terms of the information to myself from the previous trailers. Down the well are actually Flint, Lady J and Roadblock. All the trailer footage up to this point had always sort of shown that it was Roadblock down the well, but there's the three of them down the well, and you've seen the gunman opening a few rounds down the well, and you can see all the bullets whizzing past them. To how they got out of the well makes a heck of a lot more sense from where I thought it was just like Roadblock. Effectively, the three of them all link back to back, and they all link arms, and then they're using their legs and their feet and pushing against the backs of one another to then inch up the well. And there's a couple of shots of them from the camera footage from like at the base of the well, and you've seen them up, and it's a movie, but they had a heck of a way to go. That looked like hell. As they get to the top, the formation breaks apart, so one of them nearly goes back down the well, and I think it's like Roadblock who pretty much catches everyone. It's like a Goonies moment. That's when they realise that everything has just literally been blown to pieces. So Duke was in that sequence to begin with, and it is looking like it was pretty much final that they were the only people that survived that particular attack. So... Mm-hmm.
Where so they find Duke's body and everything, the whole nine yards, from what you can tell?
No, you didn't see that. That is still open for interpretation, but the way that this particular footage was presented would suggest that's it. He's gone. I know there's talk that there is alternative endings being shown and what that content might be, but at this point it's pretty much showing that Duke is among the dead there.
Okay.
So that's down to people's individual reactions to that. That could be cause for celebration or otherwise. The one thing that they did show within this sequence was that Snake Eyes wasn't actually present at this attack. It looks like he was apprehended at a different location to what was going on. At this point, there's talk with the president saying, you know, the Joe team has been forcefully terminated and things like that. And you are then getting the boom, boom, clips of like Snake Eyes being captured and held in like that sort of neck brace. The next really totally cool sequence that was new was Zartan facing the president and gloating. So Jonathan Pryce is within this role, but the president, the original president, is very much still alive at this point, and he's trying to turn the tables back on Zartan, and Zartan is just gloating and saying that his opinion polls have actually increased since Zartan has taken over his post. And he pulls out a like pocket knife and he cuts his cheek from the eye down to his mouth. And at this point, you see where he had like the nanomite injections from Rise of Cobra all start to self-heal, and his skin almost looks a little bit lizard-like as this process happens, you know, and his face then reverts back to being healed again. And Jonathan Pryce's face as like the original president is like, "You're a monster," you know, kind of thing. You know, I can't believe this is happening to me. So that was really quite cool to see, and also understand that the real president is still alive, because I think that was kind of left a bit unanswered question from Rise of Cobra. Now, where this then took us was pretty much the bulk of the actual footage, and was just really kick-ass. It was fantastic to see this. The opening sequence just cut, this long drive, trees, and you can see that there's some kind of compound down at the bottom. And then just pulling into shot is the front wheel of a motorbike that you can then see a couple of machine guns strapped to it and a Cobra logo. The rider of the bike is then a couple of close-ups of he's like unpacking something, and he takes out this tube and like he extends the tube and he reveals that there's all these little devices inside, you know, and you're thinking, what is it? Is this like some kind of bomb? And he twists it and all these little things just suddenly fly out of the tube, and they're little robotic flyerflies. They've got like the little glow bug bit on the rear of them, and they all just dissipate all around him and just casually float off down towards this building. It then also then cuts to like a PDA sort of unit device that the rider can actually see what's going on, and he's programming them to go in and terminate. There's a guard at the end of this road at the gates to this building, and he just sees, you can see these fireflies, just these insects in the night approaching him, and then one comes close to him, and he just like looks closer and realizes it's not an insect at all, it's something else. And at this point, you know, the bunker behind him that he's protecting just like explodes. So I don't know if these things are explosive, you know, and they all form together. You didn't see necessarily that, but they certainly caused the explosion, and it was just really pretty cool as a sequence to sort of see. Now, within this building, or at least that's what it was suggesting within this sequence of footage, you've got a room and it's full of a bunch of tubes, and inside one of the tubes is Storm Shadow, and he is almost like a coma-like state, but his heartbeat on his like ECG is just like slowing down to zero, and an alarm goes off, and there inside there's like a doctor or perhaps like a prison guard or something like that who's rushing over to like see if everything's okay, at which point Storm Shadow wakes up, and that's it. There's a prison guard controller who can see what's going on in terms of like the life signs, and he realizes that this might be a trap, so he mobilizes a team outside of this room to go in and investigate. When they bust in there, they find that this doctor is actually back in this tube. He's drowned, and they realize that Storm Shadow has escaped, and like something's gonna happen. Storm Shadow just literally comes out from behind and takes down all the guards. You can see that he's back on form, and he's just like literally like taking out all of these guys, and he just dispatches the whole lot with the exception of the main prison controller, who he's knocked down and he's on the floor, and Storm Shadow just turns to dispatch him. Now, at this point, because of you got all these tubes, Storm Shadow's been breaking tubes in amongst this fight, you know, and bullet holes and stuff like that. So the floor's all wet. But the prison guard controller grabs, like, one of the defibrillator paddles where they thought his heart was stopping, and he just literally slams it down on the floor and, you know, he's, like, electrocuting, like, Storm Shadow, and he's like, being completely stunned. So the guy just gets up and runs out and locks the door, so he manages to get away. But that was like pretty cool to like, this guy's dead, you know, and all of us, whoa, I could do that. And so he manages to like escape, you know, very nearly. It then cuts back, and you know, Storm Shadow's recovered, but he literally cuts open this glass tube, because you can see that there's two other figures in there, and this one body falls out the tube that he smashes all across the floor, and there's, you can just see that there's this horribly disfigured face from this man, and he's like there scrabbling, and he's like choking, he can't breathe, and he just like reaches forward and grabs what was fitted to his face at the point of before the tube was smashed, and he clicks it back onto his face, and then he can start breathing, and he gets up, and it's a mirrored visor, and you realize that that's Cobra Commander, which is like pretty cool.
That kind of confirms the whole, looks like it's Cobra Commander in those test tubes that Storm Shadow ends up rescuing. He's the one in the white uniform with that mirrored mask. That certainly seems
that's
to indicate
correct.
That.
You did see two, so I don't know, in terms of what was shown, you didn't see Destro being broken. If it was Destro being broken out, it was just one tube that was like smashed open and released. So yeah, that what you see in the trailers is actually the prison facility, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And Cobra Commander and Storm Shadow are like in there together, and Storm Shadow was in one of those tubes. So there was all kinds of thought process from, you know, is it like cloning, or is it all those guys, or is it something else from the bits and pieces that were shown in the footage of the previous trailers and things like that. But it looks like it is the main sort of prison holding cell for the Cobra guys. Now, it cuts to going back outside and you see an expanded sequence from what was shown in the trailer. The motorbike zips right down this road, jumps up into the air, splits apart and makes a bigger hole in the wall. But what you see now that you didn't see in the trailers is Firefly uses a parachute to slow himself down. So it's like he literally, a bit like base jumping in style, he literally like pulls that thing, it helps him land. But what was really cool within this sequence, as like this is the introduction to Firefly as a person, is he's then marching towards all this destruction that he's caused. So bearing in mind you've got all the explosion from the Fireflies, you've got the explosion from the bike, so there's just like fire and rubble everywhere, and there's injured guards just like strewn about, and he's just marching straight ahead. He's not even stopping, and he's just pulling out a gun and he's just pop pop, you know, he's just dispatching these injured guards, and you're like, oh, that's pretty strong, you know. Mm-hmm. that's pretty merciless. He's not even ignoring them or anything like that, he's just dispatching them there and then. He may be introduced earlier on in the film as a character, but certainly within this context of what we're talking about here, that was a great way to sort of introduce him as a person. It then cut back into the prison cell where the prison controller escaped. He's called for backup and he's got everyone surrounding the room, and he's like saying, whatever comes out, you know, just take down that room. But at this point, as they're facing the door, some devices roll in behind them, almost like thunder flashes and what have you, and just go off. It's Firefly, he's taking them out. The door opens and Storm Shadow leads Cobra Commander out. Now, Cobra Commander is dressed, what you were saying earlier, in this white outfit, and it looked really cool. You know, I don't know if that's like his prison gear or something like that, but it's quite cool. But as he's walking out, you're hearing Cobra Commander talk, and he's like saying that plan for his release has gone according to plan and is on schedule. And at this point, you then meet Firefly face to face. Now, Firefly's quite hideously scars on his face, so maybe that was a bomb that went wrong or war ruined or whatever, but you're seeing them like face to face. But from there, it then cuts to the sequence where you're seeing Zartan coming in like cool mask bit, and Cobra Commander's now dressed in his full black gear. It's a longer shot of that, so you're seeing them all up on like this balcony looking down, and what they're looking down on now, again, this might be going back to the earlier raid on the Joe camp in the desert, but they are loading warheads onto this giant rocket, and this rocket contains a big satellite, so it's like a satellite weapon. And as Zartan is then addressing the nations, like saying that you're going to bow to our will, and if you don't, terrible things are going to happen. And you see like the satellite is now in orbit and it's all fully deployed. It was a very short sequence, so you didn't see exactly how the weapon works, but effectively it just takes out London, like, oh, you know, and you're seeing,
hey, all right.
So that's one less location for Rollout Roll Call. But you're seeing the Houses of Parliament. I mean, it's a high shot. You do see that very briefly in the previous trailers, because I think it's where they're doing the we suspended G.I. Joe and everything like that. You do have a shot of London in one of the trailers. The Millennium Wheel, the House of Parliament, you know, the whole city just goes. So unlike before where it was like the Eiffel Tower, where that was a monument, this is looking at mass destruction on a city level. And that was like, whoa, and what it looks like in terms of the president in his role with like Cobra, it looks like he's more like he's, it's not clear if it's, this is the United States doing this or this is Cobra. I'm giving the ultimatums, but effectively he's addressing like the UN council, so to speak, or the world leaders, and they've got to bow to his wishes because they've got this new super weapon. And that's when you then start seeing like the unfolding of like all the Cobra flags over the White House and what have you. Now, from this point onwards, it was really much a case of like different shots and quick sequences rather than like an expanded scene like the jailbreak of Cobra Commander. But one of the things you did see within this point, which had me like, wow, that's so cool, and something I wasn't aware of, but you've got his tanks based on the Pursuit of Cobra design all like trundling around, and it's just like, that is just,
that's badass.
Yeah, it was great to see that rather than reinventing the wheel and saying, right, well, that's like the water moccasin, that's like the whatever. You know, it was actually, no, they've actually taken the Hasbro toy design and made that the film version. And you just recognized it straight away. It wasn't like, oh, maybe there's a bit of confusion. It, that is what it is. It's the Pursuit of Cobra design ethic of the His Tank. And that was just so, so freaking cool to see.
Those other ones that we've seen in the trailer are kind of, that's probably the, it's just the Ripsaw or whatever, that's not necessarily reflecting the His Tank, that's something
that, that is actually something a little bit different. But within this, a report comes in that three Joes survived the attack, and Cobra Commander effectively says to Firefly, I want you to find those three. Now, bearing in mind, earlier in the sequence, you're seeing Snake Eyes being captured. It looks like Snake Eyes is taken to the same facility that Cobra Commander and Storm Shadow broke out of. But there's Roadblock, Lady J, and Flint, and Roadblock says, you know, there's a reason why we're called Joes. And again, it looks like it's an expansion of that bit. There is this one person we can trust, apart from like the previous trailers. But they go to this suburban household, very desperate housewives looking, twee, you know, white picket fences and all this. That is our impression of like how everyone in America lives outside of America.
But of course.
Like, yeah, you all live like that.
I'm going to paint my fence tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But the front door's open, so they're like, there's been a break-in. So they go inside and they're like looking round, and it's, Joe Colton's got a nice place. But you see them and they're effectively in the kitchen. Now, the camera angle is they're all in focus, but then just out of focus behind them, you just see Bruce Willis come down from the ceiling, and he gets the drop on the guys and is like, you know, drop them kind of thing. And then they are introduced and looks like that he's going to help them. Now, what he's got in his household is effectively just a weapon stash, and that's where they get all completely rearmed. Within these sequences, they were saying that you've got voiceover, so vocal elements that are overlaid like the images, you know, just as you would within a trailer. One of the things they did say, you heard someone speak, and I don't know if this is the Blind Master perhaps, but they're saying, if Storm Shadow's still alive, you have to bring him to justice. And within this line, you are seeing what looks like Storm Shadow laying face down on a table and like some sort of surgical lasers like operating on his back. So again, it's completely out of context with the rest of the story, both the vocal element and what you're watching. But I think that it was almost like a hint of, that's what happened after Rise of Cobra. They found him and he was operated on and put into the same prison facility. It looks like, and again, it could be the way it's cut, it looks like Joe Colton is involved in the breakout of Snake Eyes where he's caught. You didn't really see much more on that other than he's involved in some kind of assault. But what you then did see is Snake Eyes back at Joe Colton's, and Joe Colton effectively has some weapons and says to Snake Eyes, you know, are these to your liking? You can see like Snake Eyes like sort of picking something up. Now,
I'm sorry, Bruce Willis is talking to Snake Eyes.
I mean, again, you know, it's what you're seeing. It was just working so well. I mean, again, similar to a trailer, what you're seeing is being carefully crafted to whet the appetite and create a buzz. But, you know, I mean, it was certainly doing its trick. It was really, really fantastic to see. All you got to be sort of kind of conscious of is that maybe that isn't, the way it's been cut is perhaps not how it is when you actually see the final thing, because there's just so much going on and so fast. But from this point, it's an expansion of the scene that you saw in the trailers where Storm Shadow is throwing the shurikens and you're seeing Snake Eyes like shooting them out of the air. Now, this sequence is actually a lot longer than those couple of seconds, because it's like a long corridor, and Storm Shadow is throwing the shurikens on about three occasions, and each time he's getting a few steps closer to Snake Eyes. Now, what is really cool is Snake Eyes, he's got the Uzi and he's firing it from the hip like John Wayne, like pow pow, you know, he's like knocking these things out the sky. And as crazy as that is, it's actually quite a tense scene, because you know that he's trying to get closer and Snake Eyes is just standing his ground. But eventually, like, Storm Shadow gets closer after he's like just chucking these like shurikens, and he's not getting anywhere with it. But that, from that point, they just like open up, and it's a full-on sword fight, martial arts fight in like this dojo. One of the things you do see at this point is some quite nice close-ups of Snake Eyes. And one of the things that I noticed with respect to his mask is where there was like so much criticism from like the previous film of how he looked from the head up kind of thing. It looked like his hood or his mask is quite rough. It was like it's almost like a Kevlar carbon fiber sort of feel to it. So it was like netting, quite abrasive. But again, that might be just, it might not actually be like that, but that's how it looked in the short sequence that I saw. But they do this absolutely insane fight, and there's also an expansion on like the on the cliffside with like the red ninjas, and you see a bit more of the sequences that we've previously seen in the trailers. And again, this might be possibly the way it was cut, but it looks like when Snake Eyes gets to the top of that cliff, there's a whole bunch of red ninjas waiting for him. So he's done all of that previous fighting for nothing, because these guys are there, and it looked like they're just going to cut the ropes. You know, he's just. And he looks at, and you're thinking, oh, but it's like one of those, that Raiders of the Lost Ark moment, Cairo with Indy and the swordsman. But this time it's Snake Eyes versus like 20 red ninjas. But he gets out what looks like a flare gun, and he just shoots it up into the ledge above them and just causes this almighty avalanche to like come over them. And it's like, whoa! But it looks like it's all over the dojo as well. And that was pretty much where it took it, this sort of 10-minute sequence, it like left it there. So you know that it's all completely out of sequence and the running of the film. But what they did show after then was the new trailer, which again was encompassing a lot of the elements that we've seen, we've just discussed about that. The UK trailer starts off, because they did say that there are different trailers for different regions. The UK trailer starts off with the motorbike pulling up and all the little robotic fireflies like flying down, and then pretty much ends on Snake Eyes creating the huge avalanche and things like that. One of the things, just looking through my notes, that I did see that I forgot to mention earlier was Justin's point about the ripsaw. That looks like that's Joe Colton's.
Oh, interesting.
And he's got it in his garage.
I was just going to ask that. So what, he's got a ripsaw in his garage or something, huh?
Nice wheels.
Exactly.
And just to let you guys know, in the UK, everybody in America has a ripsaw in their garage.
Damn it. Get the toys. But yes, that looks like it was Joe's, and Robot uses it, and that is, I think, from that point when you see him then on top firing the 50 cal, he's on top of the ripsaw. Gotcha. So he actually uses that against the hiss tanks, and again, that was a really cool little sequence that he's big tanks, little tiny fast thing like heading towards them. But it's like, I mean, at this point it was like so crazy, and there's just more explosions. Again, it might be taken out of context from the actual film, but what you see there is like, whoa, that's really cool. So yes, that was pretty much the roundup of what was shown. And even though it was like 10 short minutes and then a few more minutes of the trailer and things like that, there was, from my side of things, it helped expand on a lot of different things, answer a few questions, and also whet the appetite and the reaction within the room, bearing in mind that you've got a lot of sort of poker faced press people and things like that in there. It certainly seemed to like create a bit of a buzz and reaction. I mean, there was a couple of us in there that are like school kids, like, you know, like almost wetting themselves in excitement. But when you've got, you know, some, what was possibly, you know, some time served film critics and things like that, nobody was, from what I could tell from the reaction and the vibe, because I'm immediately like looking around to see what the reaction was, there was nobody sort of like shaking their head or what the heck was this. And I think it did the trick. It'll be interesting to see how things go forward from here, certainly from the UK, because we're lacking that support that you will be having in the States, because where you have the toy line, that's doing a lot of advertising for you. It's giving it a high street presence, so to speak. You know, it's like a visibility. You've got like things like the comic books and things like that. In the UK, last time Panini had the license for the comic, which was a UK created thing, but that gave that additional marketing muscle as well as the toy. So it'd be interesting to see how the UK will market things going forward. But certainly off the back of what was shown there, I think genuinely I'm so super psyched for this. I'm more psyched for this. I know you were talking about the Avengers, Justin, earlier, but after seeing that, I'm more psyched for this than I am for the Avengers.
Nice.
Because it was just so cool. And things like, you know, that spoke to me, like the his tanks, seeing more of the outfits and seeing that rather than them all being the same design aesthetic, I guess is the best way to say it, of Rise of Cobra, to give them all that uniformity. They all seem to have their own individual looks, with the exception of Lady J and Flint. You didn't really get to see them in their own right, but certainly differences between Cobra Commander and Firefly, Roadblock, Joe Colton, Snake Eye, Storm Shadow, you know, it's true to their historical looks, but it's not like it's Roadblock wearing the Rise of Cobra G.I. Joe outfit, if that makes sense. They have their own identities in their own way, and also potentially, you know, and the Red Ninjas as well, potentially more than one outfit as well. Like I said, Cobra Commander wearing like this white outfit, the Prison Break, you know, completely different, because then when you then see him, he's wearing like this black outfit with the mirrored mask and what have you. It just was so super cool, and you know, very, very grateful for Paramount UK for organizing that and including us, so that we have that opportunity to dissect it.
Yes, that is that's really awesome. Very cool. I'm glad you got a chance to take a peek at it, and I'm equally glad that you decided to share some of the information with us. That's really awesome. You said they showed the new trailer. I'm sure, I don't know if you've seen this site. There's a site out there called starkindustries.ru, which looks obviously to be some kind of, I don't want to say illegitimate site, but it's hosted a bunch of press photos from Paramount before they've been released to the public. They've
right.
got some sort of connection, it would seem. And they mentioned that a new trailer is going to most likely hit this week. And one thing they said about it, they said something like it's got less Seven Nation Army and one epic scene. Is there a particular epic scene you can think of that we might expect to see in this trailer? Or what's?
Well, bearing in mind that this was the UK trailer, which again, sure. cut different. I mean, one of the things that the Paramount, the head of publicity, said that where each region is getting their own versions of the trailer, they are trailers that appeal in the best possible way to that region's audience. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that she mentioned was that the UK trailer would be probably contain a little bit more humor, and that the Asian market trailer would contain more of the martial arts element. Within the epic scenes, I would say it's either got to be like Firefly, because I mean that again for me that was a complete surprise, and you could say it's a little bit gimmicky, but it's like actually that I think that's quite cool. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. and is still, rather than just being someone who is an explosive expert, it still gives it that slightly technological edge over a typical soldier that he's got, like these things. And it was just depending on how they use it within the film, but from the information that was like shown there, you know, you're just like seeing these things and they just like flying and blow up. And the other sort of stick out element from the kick-ass scene, I guess, is more of the Red Ninjas and where he shoots the flare gun above their heads into the ledge, and you're seeing the avalanche. Now again, I might have this wrong, but I don't think Jinx is there at that point. I think she's actually higher up, and you're seeing the avalanche happen from her point of view. So I don't think she's actually in there at that point. I could have that completely wrong, because there might be more than one person, but it looked like that at the point of the avalanche, there's someone else holding onto the ledge, and I think it's Jinx. And this is what I'm saying about the editing, because there was one real big red herring in what they show within the sequence that you're thinking, no! And that was the point where I said they're back at Joe Colton's house, and he's offering the weapons out to Snake Eyes, like saying, you know, will these do you? They actually then cut in Storm Shadow saying something along the lines of, that'll do nicely. So you're then thinking, what? Hey, has Storm Shadow gone over to the Joes? And he's like, no, I don't think that was right. It was just the way they cut that to like sort of almost make up a sentence out of like the vocal clips and things like that. But it was for a moment, because the guys I was with, I said afterwards, did you pick up on that? And they said, yeah, that's not right, because it didn't make sense for the rest of the film.
Yeah,
of like, you know, you got to bring him to justice. you know, Cobra Commander having to stick the mask on so he can breathe. You know, it's almost like the Darth Vader element that he has to, you know, this is almost like his life support system now. But that was pretty cool in the way that was done. I mean, you knew who it was going to be when you saw like this person disfigured and what have you. But the way it was handled was quite good. And hopefully that gets around the Joseph Gordon-Levitt sort of questions.
Yeah.
No sight of Arnold Vosloo within the sequence. I don't know if that is a done deal, that he is or he isn't. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet. If he's
IMDb has him listed as a cast member, but IMDb is one of those sites that anybody can kind of log into and put their own stuff in there. So
yeah, sure. But again, I don't know what happens with Destro. I don't know if that's maybe...
But he's seen or not seen?
What you see is I think if my memory serves me correct, you see another two figures exactly... They're dressed alike, Cobra Commander and Destro, in these tubes. So you see one other person, but you don't see him looking any different to how Cobra Commander's dressed. Because like I said, that's what I'm meaning. Maybe these are they're prison fatigues that they are held within these tubes.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you see... you know, that's different is Storm Shadow, and he dressed as a ninja, and you see like some surgery going on his back at a later point within that footage. I don't know if that's maybe like to go back at some point. Maybe Destro could be, you know, to come back, or maybe he's killed within that sequence of like the jailbreak. There's Storm Shadow's really going for it with these guards, you know, so maybe something happens but just wasn't included within that footage to say why he was released or not. If it is him, there is another person in there.
Now, both John Hsu and Lorenzo Di Bonaventura both claimed that the Cobra Commander in Retaliation is a different person than the one from Rise of Cobra, but it certainly doesn't sound that way, does it?
Do you mean different person as an actor or different in character?
No, different in character. That's what seems to indicate, what they've seemed to indicate in some interviews they've done, that this Cobra Commander is an actual different character than the one we got in the first film.
It's how it's cut. It might be, it might not be, but you know, this person, within the realms of what you saw, it looked like it was the same thing. What you didn't have was the kind of drawn out talking about everything and why you're doing this, and you know, that you had with like the Doctor, and
sure,
then what became Cobra Commander in terms of his mannerisms and things like that. I mean, like I said, he was, from what was seen, it wasn't a character that spoke a lot, and he was very much more Boba Fett like if you want that. He, you know, he's a masked character and he wasn't saying much, but he was,
you were just waiting to bring some Star Wars element to this.
And then came along like Moondancer and Dolphin from the Action Force team. And everything,
you guys would be going nuts at that point. Yeah.
And these laser exterminators.
The Red Hal, right? Just
dudes. Wound me. That's probably the best analogy that I could go for. That he was almost like it within this sequence. He was coming across like a Boba Fett sort of character.
Okay. You heard Cobra Commander speak?
Yeah. Because he addressed Storm Shadows saying that the plan of my release is on schedule or it went to plan, words to that effect. And it didn't sound like he did as the Doctor or what have you. It was deadpan, but sort of dark voice. You know, it was much more menacing than before. Okay. Whereas for me anyway, the character before was almost a bit Hammer horror sort of, I'm going to get you, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Whereas this was much more sort of cold and, you know, more mysterious, but probably more cold-blooded and to the point. But you heard him speak.
Well, prison changes a man.
I've seen Oz.
Hopefully that won't be a deleted scene on the DVD.
Yeah, I mean, that was just one unit of Oz, you know. You had all the other communities in there as well. It was certainly really cool to see. And in some ways, I mean, this is what was really good. In some ways, it answered some questions, but also then provoked more questions. And you didn't walk away from what you saw there feeling like, well, I've pretty much seen the film in 10 minutes. And you didn't feel like you'd just seen like the set pieces either. A few years ago, when Rise of Cobra came out, I had the opportunity to see the toys that Hasbro were doing at Toy Fair, it was in a private view room, and you got to see some of the footage of Rise of Cobra there. And it was all very much unfinished scenes, but you got to see like the accelerator suits and the point where they're jumping through the bus and, you know, running down the streets and jumping over vehicles and things like that. And you saw the Eiffel Tower. I remember being stood there watching it. I was with one of the UK Hasbro designers. And I just turned to him and I was like, what? <You know? laughs> he didn't really care much for Joe as an enthusiast. But I remember, because it was Revenge of the Fallen and Rise of Cobra. And I just was like, what have you done? But it was all unfinished graphically, you know, in terms of the effects. Mm-hmm. But you knew what you were seeing there was pretty much the showcase of all the key points within the film, within the sort of 5 minutes of footage that they were showing you there. And true to form, when I then saw it, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't dislike Rise of Cobra. It's not the best it could have been, but for me, it's a beer and pizza movie. You just sit down, you switch off, and you enjoy it for what it is. Mm-hmm. But with this, I didn't feel like I'd just seen pretty much everything. It was like, okay. And so it provoked discussion amongst us as we were like leaving. Like, so is Joe Colton just used for the breakout of Snake Eyes, perhaps? Or, you know, are you seeing him later? You know, and we were trying to think, you know, did we see him later on in the film in a different setting or scenario? At what point are we then having to go to like the dojo? Is the Blind Master in the dojo? It's like saying bring Storm Shadow to justice, but Storm Shadow seems to be in the dojo when he's throwing the shurikens at Snake Eyes. It got you trying to work out and figure things out, and that's why I was like keen to stress with what we discussed tonight isn't necessarily in sequence. The way it was cut together might be completely different in the final product. It just got you really psyched, and certainly for the trailers, which I'm hoping will all be released sort of simultaneously, you know, everybody's just going to be like so fired up to see it.
Yeah, it's just that'll be cool. Get all these different international trailers all released on the same day. That'd be pretty badass.
Well, I can't tell you the level of excitement. I don't know, has gotten bigger until after hearing what you had to say, or it was just as big before with anticipation. I mean, either way, I think, Justin, not to speak for you, but I'm willing to bet that we combined have an anticipation level that surpasses most of the fandom, and we cannot wait to see what you've just told us right now.
No kidding. I'm fired up. It sounds so cool.
And trust me, guys, I mean, it's almost like bragging rights. It is. You know, I'm super privileged and so grateful that Paramount UK put that on. But yeah, fired up is definitely one way to describe it. You know, it's going to be amazing.
We are living vicariously through you, Dave.
I feel it.
Do you feel General Hawk inside you?
I try not to think about it.
Well, on that note, everyone, please check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. There you'll find links to everything you need to know about the show. Email address is whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Basically, I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of first-time listeners listening to this, so make sure you check out the rest of our episodes and the rest of our special editions. And as we have more information on G.I. Joe Retaliation, we will let it loose as soon as we know it. But I can't thank Dave enough. Dave, thank you very much. You've been more than kind.
No, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure.
So for myself and Justin, well, that's it. This is special edition number 11. Everybody, have a good day, and we'll check you out with the next episode of What's On Joe Mind. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.